don't think any of us would be here without them. There's been a competition in the genders of recent years, male versus female, and I heard somebody define it this way. They said the weaker sex is really the stronger sex because of the weakness of the stronger sex for the weaker sex. Did you get that? I'll do it one more time. The weaker sex is the stronger sex because of the weakness of the stronger sex for the weaker sex. I believe in the strength of women. And even within the woman's world, there is a competition, there is a clamoring, there is a striving to be the ideal woman. And so industry has grown around clothing and jewelry and makeup and hair and all kinds of things, trying to get the ideal woman image. Well, what is an ideal woman? And the scriptures give us an answer to that. The ideal woman is a virtuous woman. In fact, she is so valuable, let's look at what the scripture says about her. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Not so long ago, somebody brought me a ruby ring and asked me what it was worth. I didn't know. I said I'd take it to a friend of mine who was a jeweler, a gemologist, and I did that. And when he saw it at first glance, it was about the size of my little 5-carat emerald here, he said, that's worth a whole bunch, but let me look at it closer. And it turned out not to be a real ruby. Had it been the same size as my stone, it would have been worth over $1 million, about 6 times the price of a comparable diamond in size and clarity. And look at this. A woman, her value is above not one ruby, but look at this, rubies plural. And she's not just equal to the price of rubies. She is above the price of rubies. She's not just above the price of rubies. A virtuous woman is, look at this, far above the price of rubies. For centuries, women have been on a pedestal. She's been the subject of the poet's pen and the artist's brush. They have tried to mix paint and pigment and canvas and capture the character of her countenance. For decades, centuries, woman has been held high in esteem. However, in recent years, women have been brought down off the pedestal into the gutters where men have been and should not be either. One historian put it this way. He said, when the men of a society turn immoral, that's one thing. But if the women turn immoral, there is no return for that society. The greatest need today is for virtuous women. They are the ones who are valuable to husbands, valuable to children, valuable to society. In fact, Napoleon Bonaparte penned it this way when he said, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." I am convinced that the future of America will be determined by the women of the future. And it is the Bible, the scriptures, that present women in the highest place and status that they can be found. Well, what does it mean to be a virtuous woman? Let's look at the definition. It means possessing qualities of character and goodness, free from vice, immorality, and wickedness. Let's repeat that one more time. Possessing qualities of character and goodness, free from vice, immorality, and wickedness. That's what's really valuable. The ideal woman is a virtuous woman. Well, what's a picture? What are the characteristics of a virtuous woman? And so, helpfully and hopefully and clearly, Proverbs tells us the answer to that question of what the characteristics of a virtuous woman are. Let's look at them. Number one, she is trustworthy. And here's the scripture. The heart of her husband does safely, look at, trust in her. It's not a misplaced trust. He can trust her. You know, when you know somebody from a distance, you may think they're really, really wonderful. You've never seen them up close. But when a husband who knows his wife from such close in, day after day, year after year, close encounters, can still trust her, then surely She must be virtuous. Now look at this. He can safely trust in her, not just trust in her, but confidently so, so that he doesn't need anything else. He needs no spoil. He can safely trust. He will have no need. One verse of scripture says that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. Another verse says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. If a man has a virtuous woman, he needs very little else. He has got a treasure worth far more than many rubies. She's trustworthy. Then, secondly, we find that the scripture teaches she's consistently good. Here's what the scripture says. She will do him good. Will do him good and not evil. And again, I say consistently because it says all the days of her life. And then she not only does good to him all the days of her life, but she is industrious. The scripture says she seeks wool and flax. She works willingly with her hands. Watch with me the scripture once more. She is a go-getter. She seeks the wool. She goes looking for work. She doesn't do work because she has to do. She does it willingly. She goes seeking for it. She is industrious. And then the scripture tells us that she is nutritionally conscious. She's not satisfied with just any old food for her and her family. Look at the scripture. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She's fussy about what she feeds herself, her husband, her children, and all those within her influence. She is nutritionally conscious. And then she is an early riser. The scripture says that she rises also while it is yet night. She's not slothful. The scriptures warn us about too much sleep. A little sleep, a little folding of the hands, the scripture says, and so shall poverty come to your soul. But not her. She's up before everybody else. She's up while it's still dark out because she is a woman, industrious. She's a woman with a task, with a vision, with a goal. She's going somewhere and she gets right on it at the earliest part of the day. And then the scriptures teach that a virtuous woman cares about others. She rises while it is yet night. Oh, watch this now. And she gives meat to her household and a portion even to her maidens. That is, she's up earlier than everybody else to get the food ready for the household and for those who are in her employ. Interesting, however, another insight about this is that the Bible seems to indicate that when the word meat is used in the Bible, it's often referring to spiritual food, not just literal and physical food. For example, in the New Testament says that strong meat belongs to them that are full maturity. Another verse says, bring the tithes in the storehouse. There might be meat in the house, spiritual food for those who come there. So the virtuous woman gets up early and she prepares literal food for her family, but she also knows that her husband, that her children, that those who work around her need more than just physical sustenance. She wants to provide them with spiritual food. She's going to plant thoughts in the lives of her children, in the minds of her husband and of her children. She's going to have something encouraging to say. She's preparing spiritual food to prepare for those around her. And then she is entrepreneurial. A virtuous woman is not one who sits around the home merely all the time. She is entrepreneurial. Now, this word in the dictionary means one who undertakes an enterprise. That is, one who owns and manages a business. She considers a field. Look at this. She considers a field. She looks at this piece of real estate, and she goes out and she buys this piece of real estate. And with her own hands, she plants a vineyard in that piece of land and increases its worth and turns it for a profit. Whoever presented this idea that a virtuous woman is not entrepreneurial, is not business-oriented, is mistaken. The scriptures present the fact that a virtuous woman can buy and sell and turn a profit, and she's industrious and entrepreneurial. Then Scripture seems to indicate that she's also physically fit. Here's what it says. She girds her loins with strength, and she strengthens her arms. She takes time to keep herself in physical condition. She has a task before her, and to her, her strength is just physical strength. Her physical well-being, the nutrition she puts in her body, are very important to her. That's a virtuous woman who cares about physical fitness. And then she's a thrifty shopper. Now, I know a lot of you would just like this idea of shopper. Hey, I'm a virtuous woman. I'm a shopper. But she's not just a shopper. She is a thrifty shopper. That is, she is careful about the economics. She's careful about expenditures. See what the scripture says. She looks at the merchandise to make sure that it's good before she purchases it. She checks it out. She's looking for the most return on her expenditures. She is a thrifty shopper. And so she goes looking for bargains. And she, in this way, is demonstrating frugality and resourcefulness, and makes what money she has go a farther and longer distance. And then the scripture teaches that the virtuous woman is protective. The scripture puts it this way. Her candle does not go out during the night. Now, back in the days when this was written, Edison had not invented the light bulb yet, and there was no switches on the wall to have instant light. So in case someone of her children would cry out in the middle of the night, in case she needed to get up to help somebody, she would keep her candle on all night long. So at the first cough, the first cry, the first whimper that she might hear, the sob reaching her ears, she would quickly to the rescue, the light already being provided, because she is protective. She looks after her family. And then the scripture teaches that the virtuous woman is not afraid to work with her hands, not just with her mind, not just entrepreneurial in the business sense, but she is willing to work with her hands. In this case, she says she lays her hands on a spindle and her hands hold the distaff, which is another part of the spindle. In other words, she's not afraid to roll up her sleeves and get her work done. I guess she found a way not to let her nails get chipped. I don't know. But she's not afraid of work. A virtuous woman works with her hands. And then a virtuous woman is charitable and generous. Look at this scripture with me. She stretches out her hand to the poor, and she reacheth forth. These two words are very important. She reaches forth her hands to the needy. The picture here is that she's not waiting for the poor to stretch out their hands to her. She's not waiting for the needy to reach out to her. She is alert to the needs of those who need help. And she is the initiator. She stretches out her hand to the poor. She reaches forth. A virtuous woman is charitable and generous. And by the way, a virtuous woman, see, there's a difference between giving to the poor and giving to the slothful. And the implication of this verse is that she is checking them out. She stretches out to them. She reaches forth to them. She is looking for the people who qualify for genuine charity and genuine help and financial or food or clothing or whatever it is they need. There's a difference between giving to the poor and giving to the slothful. And then a virtuous woman is prepared. She thinks ahead of time. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, the scripture says. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. Remember the red flannels of the old days? She has got the winter clothing all stored up. She is thinking ahead, preparing for the cold, preparing for the rain, preparing for what might happen for the protection of her family. She is prepared. And then a virtuous woman is an elegant and modest dresser. How a person dresses is very important. Because, you see, we dress the way that we think, then we feel the way we dress, and then we act the way we feel. Think about that for a moment. People dress the way they think, then they feel the way they dress, and then they act the way they feel. For example, if you get out of bed in the morning and leave your pajamas on till noon hour, you will feel the way you dress. You will not likely do a lot of work. And you will act the way you feel. Slouchy, casual. But if you'll let your feet hit the floor and scrub and get cleaned up and dressed up, suited up for the day, because you think that way, you will dress that way. And because you dress that way, you will feel that way. Clothing is very important. And she is an elegant and modest dresser. Let's look at the scripture. She makes herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothing is silk and purple. I mean, she's elegant. Silk is pretty elegant, and purple. But she's not only an elegant dresser. This scripture presents the virtuous woman as a modest dresser. Now, the scriptures teach that there are four purposes for clothing. And I hope you'll jot these down in your notes. The four purposes of clothing. Number one, clothing is given to protect us from, you know, shoes protect your feet and protection from the elements, the rain, the sun, the wind, the storm, whatever. Clothing is for protection. And then secondly, clothing is given to us as a symbol. You can always identify a policeman, usually, because he's uniformed. His clothes are a symbol of what he is. You can go to the hospital and you'll find the nurses dressed a certain way. Their clothing is a symbol of their status. In fact, the scriptures warns us about women who wear the attire of a harlot, because clothing is a symbol of our status. The third purpose of clothing is to differentiate gender. The scripture says it's an abomination for a man to wear women's clothing, and vice versa. And you see, the virtuous woman is very much a lady. She's feminine. And she dresses in a way that not only conveys her gender and her femininity, but she also dresses with clothing that symbolizes what she thinks of herself. And then fourthly, the fourth purpose of clothing, according to scriptures, is for the purpose of modesty. That is, look at the scripture now. She is covering her body up because she's modest. The virtuous woman, you see, is confident in what she is in and of herself. She does not need to attract others by immodesty, by flashing parts of her body, exposing herself. Somebody said, if it's for sale, you shouldn't advertise it. The pressure that's being put upon women today to dress immodestly in order to be accepted by men, in order to be accepted by the society, is certainly an unrighteous thing. You see, the virtuous woman, she doesn't have to attract with some showing part of her body, because a virtuous woman, her intrinsic value is far above rubies. Why would she stoop to expose parts of her body to get some attention? She doesn't need it. She is self-contained, self-fulfilled, self-established, because she's got virtue. That's what makes her different. She makes herself coverings for her clothing and covers up. And her clothing is made of silk and purple. Then a virtuous woman is a helper to her husband. You know, today there are several different models that are being followed for marriage. In one model, he has his friends and she has her friends. And then he has his interests and she has her interests. And he has his hobbies and she has her hobbies. And he spends his time and she spends her time. And he does this and he does that. And he goes places and he vacations and she vacations. And we got these two separate lives. Hardly a marriage at all. Because there's no union here. Marriage would simply become bed and board, I suppose. But you see, the virtuous woman is a helper to her husband. Look at the scripture. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders, the leaders of the land. Because a man who's married to a virtuous woman has what the Bible calls, designed by God, a helper, a helpmate. And he will be a better man, get more done, have more influence, and go further because of a virtuous woman who's a team player. She's a helpmate to her husband. A president doesn't go far without counselors, without advisors, without a vice president. And neither does a man. He will have influence. He will sit among the leaders of the land making decisions because a virtuous woman helps put him there. And then a virtuous woman is self-employed. She's a businesswoman. And here's the scripture. She makes linen and she sells it. And she delivers. In this case, she's making girdles to the merchant. She sells her stuff. She makes the stuff. She delivers her stuff. Perhaps the reason a virtuous woman does this, that is self-employed, is because her employment is secondary to her agenda as a woman, as a wife, as a mother. She makes the employment fit around her real agenda. The job does not take over. She doesn't go to work for somebody else and make the product or sell the product. She sells them to the merchant. She's self-employed because she wants the job not to take over from her real mission in life. Then, a virtuous woman is an honorable woman. The scripture says, strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She is honorable. She is strong. And then, she is full of wisdom. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Here's the scripture. When she talks, smart stuff comes out of her. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when she speaks wisdom because she's got wisdom on the inside. Wisdom is seeing and responding to life situations from God's point of view. So when she speaks, she gives not a prejudiced point of view, not a limited point of view, but she understands the big picture and she can advise her children, advise her husband, advise her friends, advise her employees with wisdom from God's point of view. And then a virtuous woman is a kind woman. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Look at this. Not only does wisdom come out of her, but in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, the word law means a rule of action. There's a consistency here. She speaks. And when she does, it's always kind because she is kind-hearted. It's a rule of action. Consistently, a virtuous woman is a kind woman. And then she has a family focus. She looks well to the ways of her household. She likes being a mother. She likes being a wife. She looks after. That's her focus on the family. And then a virtuous woman is diligent, which is the opposite to being slothful. Look at this. She doesn't eat. She eats not the bread of idleness. She doesn't loaf, sit around, waste time. She doesn't procrastinate. She is a diligent person, a virtuous woman. And then she's respectable. The scripture says her children shall rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Let me tell you something that's more important than being respected. It's being worthy of respect, to be respectable. And here's this woman who has so got it together, virtue, She's got virtue. Her husband sees it. Her children see it. And they can't help but praising her because she is respectable. And then a virtuous woman has the fear of the Lord. Here's what the scripture says. The last one. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. What does it mean to have the fear of the Lord? It means to hold yourself accountable to God. She's aware that God is watching her actions, listening to her words, checking out her motives, and observing her thoughts. She has the fear of the Lord, and she is a virtuous woman. Well, the important question you're probably asking right now is, how can I become a virtuous woman? There are three steps. Get each of these down clearly. Number one, get forgiveness for all your past. You see, we've all gone the wrong way. We've all failed. We've all lost virtue. Jesus is called Savior. He comes to give it back to you. And it starts by getting the past all cleansed. Jesus is the best friend a woman ever had. For when he comes into her life, he will wash away all of the past. Secondly, hold yourself accountable to God. Bring your life under the management of God, of Christ. Make him the Lord. So you not only get forgiveness, but you bring your life under new management. Someone who is able to wisely direct you in the right way. And then thirdly, begin to follow his ways. Get forgiveness, come under his management, follow his directions. How do you do that? Read your Bible, pray every day, get in fellowship with women in a church that teaches the Bible. And you will become a virtuous woman.